Hey all, sorry for the late episode this week, but we do have something very exciting for you. This is our Summer Games Fest Playdays interview with Mark Rosewater. For those of you who are not familiar, Mark is the head designer for Magic the Gathering and the lead vision designer for this new upcoming Marvel superhero set. So with the set releasing tomorrow, we talked to Mark about aligning heroes to the Magic color chart, about the impact of adapting such a historic IP like Marvel to Magic the Gathering, and what it means to him to bring more people into playing Magic, this game that he has spent so much of his career working on. Enjoy.
Hi, I am Mark Rosewater, head designer for Magic the Gathering and lead vision designer for Marvel Superheroes.
And I want to talk about the vision for this set, primarily because...
Me too! I also have a vision. We're in good shape.
I have fallen in love with your choices for the Wakandan cards specifically.
Okay.
So Killmonger being green, black, yeah. And T'Challa being... green, white. There's so much synergy between what they are doing on the cards and honoring the characters and how they're portrayed. Not only are there opposites with one having white in the color scheme and black on the other, but they're also, if I remember correctly, when you've talked about color pie, there is something about nature and ancestry that is deep within green. Can you talk a little bit to both developing these from a working within Magic, but also telling the story just on something like their colors alone?
Yeah, so one of the fun things, so there's no greater fan in the world of the color pie. I love the Magic color pie. And one of the really neat things about it is it takes a lot of, like, kind of big concepts and consolidates them down. So one of the things about green, like, green mana is very much about honoring the past, about honoring the natural way. And Wakanda is a green nation, very core to the green.
Yeah.
And the interesting question is, how do you use, like, how do you see Wakanda?
Yeah.
And obviously, T'Challa and Killmonger see it very differently. And, like, so you can see, they have this shared love of Wakanda. That's why they're both green. They both respect, the history of it. But they very, very much differ in how it gets used.
Yes.
And so T'Challa is very much about the greater good.
Yeah.
Right? And that's white. White's all about the greater good, and, like, the reason this technology exists is because we have to do positive with it.
Yeah.
And black is all about self-gain, right? And so, you know, Killmonger's like, well, I want to do what I want to do with the technology. And so they really butt heads.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the neat things is Magic has a lot of these core philosophies baked into the color pie. Well, white and black is a really interesting, you know, the good of the group versus the good of the individual.
Yeah.
That's baked into it. And so when we can tap into that when doing, like, Universes Beyond, that's a lot of fun. And so, yeah, I mean, it was very clear. I mean, the moment we made the cards, like, we knew T'Challa wanted to be green, white, and Killmonger wanted to be green, black. Now, there's more versions of Black Panther, and we like to show different aspects of them. So there's some blue in Black Panther. So there's other things we show in other places, but yeah.
And I think, like, my follow-up question to that is, it was easy to see them because Wakanda is a green nation type ancestry and hatred and nature.
Yeah.
What was a hard character for you all to assign colors to?
Well, one of the hardest things is some of the properties in Universes Beyond is like a singular story.
Yeah.
Like, there's one story, and you know, and not the characters can grow during the story, but there's one story. But with Marvel, there are, I mean, let's just take, you know, Iron Man.
Yeah.
Iron Man, there are thousands and thousands of Iron Man stories, and I might be underselling how many there are.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different aspects of the character. And so what we need to do is, like, for example, there's ways that you could take Tony Stark and find black in Tony Stark if you want.
Yeah.
You can find white in Tony Stark if you want.
Yeah.
But we said, okay, well, the core of the character, when you kind of go deep what he is, he's very much about technology, about improvement, about invention, and he's about as impulsive a character as comes in the Marvel Universe. Like, he's super impulsive. And, interestingly, blue and red meets great creativity.
Yeah.
And so, like, okay, at his core, he's a blue-red character.
Yeah.
Could you get black in him? Could you get white in him? Yeah. I mean, those are there. And he's a really well-rounded character.
Yeah.
So, like, does he have selfish qualities? 100% he does. Absolutely. You know. But the idea with each of the characters is trying to figure out, like, what the best, most common representation of him is. And we're also balancing the whole set as well. So the bigger the character, the more we try to center them, the more minor the character, the more we have a little bit of flux to try to figure out where to put them so we have the full balance.
And I think it's really easy to talk about mythic cards and rares and everything, but I also have loved really talking to people about their favorite common cards that they've worked on.
Oh, sure.
And so I wanted to ask, do you have a favorite common card in this set that for you felt really good flavorfully?
My favorite common card is Pet Avengers.
Yes, I just pulled that one. It's so good.
So one of the things that's really fun is that we want to do a lot of deep cuts. We want to, like, for the fans of the property. And one of the challenges is in this set, we chose to make no common legendary creatures. Everything uncommoned up is all the creatures are legendary. Because, I mean, the reason we do a property is to play into what the strength of the property is. And Marvel's strength is its characters.
Yeah.
I mean, they have, I mean, more characters than we even fit in all the sets. They've been doing a bunch of sets. But commons are tricky because we have to do things that aren't one specific character per se.
Yeah.
And some of that is like, oh, it's a member of Hydra or AIM. I mean, there's different ways we're doing it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're representing a character, but the archetype of a character rather than that specific character. But the Pet Avengers was something we were able to do a common. It's a group that actually has existed numerous times. Yeah. We chose some of our favorites to be in this incarnation, but the Pet Avengers actually have shown up a bunch of different times. It was really fun. It's like, well, who should we put in the Pet Avengers? And then that actually has the longest creature type line, the most numbers of creature types. It's got six. Four is our record, and so we blew it away because cat and dog are short. So and that's the thing about that is, if you don't know anything about it, you get the general idea of, okay, they're pets and they're Avengers. But if you do know the comics, there's literally, like, they've been in the comics. We're not making this up.
Yeah.
And that's fun. It's fun to see. And I like, each of those characters also gets, like, I'm a huge X-Men fan.
Yeah.
So seeing Lockheed, that means a lot to me. So, you know. Anyway, so, I mean, and I, you know, it's just fun to see that in that regard. So. Yeah.
I think one of the other things that I really appreciated from the set is that there seems to be a split, not split, but a mix of MCU references and general comic references. Some of the deep cuts for people who may have come to the comics first.
Yeah.
But I also pulled the I Am Iron Man card, and that flavor text of any questions is calling back to probably it was the moment that the MCU started. So how did you all approach picking what elements to pull in? And when to lean on what we've established in entertainment as film versus the comic books, and when to lean into the comics.
Okay, so we had the license to the comics. So technically, we did the comics version of things.
Okay.
And a real good example of that might be Ms. Marvel, for example, has a different power set in the comics than she does in the TV show and movies.
Yep.
So in our set, she has the ability she has in the comics.
Okay.
She's more of a shapeshifter in the comics. She can change her shape of work.
She's one of my favorite characters.
She creates
Ambigans.
Objects.
Yeah.
She creates objects out of this energy in the TV show. So we were doing that. So the rule was we were doing the comics version.
Yes.
But 90% probably of what you know from the movies or the TV shows, maybe more than 90, has its origins in the comics.
Yeah.
So a lot of fun things. We could say, well, yeah, we're doing the comics, but we're aware. I mean, obviously, we're fans of the MCU. We're fans of the TV shows and all that. So, like, when we can make a decision, knowing that the audience might be more familiar with the character, we did do that. Even though we're not reflecting the MCU exactly, we are conscious of the MCU.
Yeah.
And card selection and card choices very much were shaped by the MCU. You know, we want to do things that people recognize and know. And, yes, there's deep cuts for the comic fans. But also, for the people that just are movie fans, hey, we wanted a lot of stuff there that you would recognize. And the other funny thing is sometimes there's stuff in the set that is from the movies and TV show, but maybe you don't know that.
Yeah.
Like, there's a character named Hellcat, who's a longtime Avenger, who is Jessica Jones.
Yep.
Her best friend, that's who she is. Now, she never dresses up in the costume. She does get the powers in, like, a later season. But, I mean, they never call her that in the TV show. She never dresses up in the costume. But that is her. Like, you did see that character.
Yeah.
And some of that's sort of fun. Some people, like, there's characters that you do know, but you don't even realize that that's who it is. So.
And I think that there's something that's been really beautiful about watching Universes Beyond open the door for a lot of people into magic. But I also think with this Marvel set, you all also have the ability to open up Marvel to more people. Because whether you've only seen one part of it, or you've never picked up a comic, but then, oh, I really love this magic card, I'm gonna go find Hellcat, right?
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel knowing that, like, you may actually be the bridge for people to explore Marvel so much more because of their favorite magic card?
Yeah, I mean, one of their idea of the Universes property, the reason that we make partnerships is we want, both of us want our audience is the Knicks.
Yeah.
That if you are a Magic player, great, we're going to introduce you to Marvel if you're not familiar with Marvel, although a lot of people are.
Yeah.
if you are a Marvel fan and don't know Magic, we got to introduce you to Magic, and that's great. We have a lot of intro products. Like, we expect this to be a lot of people who might maybe have heard of Magic but have never played before. Yeah. This is the way in. Okay, I'm going to learn because I love Marvel, so I'm going to learn. And we have our beginner boxes and our jump starts and our welcome decks and commander decks and lots of ways that we go in.
Yeah.
Or, on the reverse side, let's say, for example, I love squirrels and I see Squirrel Girl and I have no idea who she is and I put her in my deck and she's awesome. Well, guess what? She's an amazing character. She's got, you know, she's been the head of comics. Go read it. Squirrel Girl's really awesome. You know, so we hope both ways. We hope that if you are a Marvel fan that doesn't know Magic, you get to discover Magic. If you're a Magic fan that doesn't know Marvel, you get to discover Marvel. And if you are a Marvel and Magic fan, well, it should be Christmas for you because, you know, it should be awesome for you because it's just everything is all together. Yeah.
And, like, honestly, your excitement for the set has been really infectious.
Yeah.
Because I can see when you talk about it, and you've even talked about how long you've been a fan of Marvel Comics. And I think for me, like, I have these very core memories of taking my uncle's X-Men comics and reading them and taking them to school and falling in love with this universe so young. So what does it mean for you to pick up the storytelling baton in Marvel?
I mean, the idea that there'll be people that, because of work I do, get introduced to Marvel is awesome. I'm a giant fan. And one of the things we talk about in design is this concept of resonance, right?
Yeah.
That if I can make a card that taps into something you already know, there's a lot of power in that. And a lot of resonance is like, I'm just doing, you know, things you might, just regular things, like math or something you just might, you know, we definitely tap into lots of different things.
Yeah.
This particular thing, which is fun, is one of the cool things about intellectual properties that, like, work is, like, I grew up as a fan of Marvel. Why? Because it spoke to me.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about it's something you shared with someone that mattered to you. For me, it was more about, like, you know, as a little kid, I was picked on, you know, and that something about having a world with heroes that stood up, you know, like it really spoke to my soul.
Yeah.
You know, and that, so I really, from very, very young, I've been very tuned to Marvel. Like, for this event, for example, there's shirts that you can wear, but I said, well, if I have Marvel shirts, can I wear Marvel shirts? They're like, sure. Like, well, I'm covered.
Yeah.
You know, I got Marvel shirts for days. And so that has been really fun in that the idea that I get to take my love of Marvel and my love of Magic, and then, I mean, I love Magic as much as I love Marvel. And bringing those together has been just absolute, I mean, a total treat. It's been super fun. The story I tell is, Aaron Forsythe, my boss, when he first pitched the concept of Universes Beyond, because he's the one that came up with it, he asked my opinion on it, and the very, very first words in my mouth was, dibs on Marvel. So, yeah, this is something I've been wanting to do this from the second I knew the existence of Universes Beyond.
Is there a card that you are hoping, how do I say this, like, meets people in the same way that you feel towards a character? Like, if you were to pick your favorite character.
Oh. Well, this is funny. This is not public yet, so I can't. There's something that's a deep cut that I love in the Marvel Universe. I love. I think I'm really a fan of. And I didn't know whether we'd get it in the sets at all because it's, you know, like, obviously we're putting Iron Man in and we can do some deep cuts, but it was a deep enough cut that I just didn't know we'd get it in or not. Maybe we would. And it turns out that it has a connection to Fantastic Four. So I was able to get it into the Fantastic Four Commander deck. And so I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, like, I finally got the thing into print.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing. Like, the thing that's awesome about this particular product is just one character on one card.
Yeah.
Like, Marvel goes deep.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you might just, if you fall in love with Squirrel Girl, you may not realize, like, that's not just a character in the universe. There's whole comics. She has multiple comics.
Yeah. It's like an iceberg. There's so much more.
And then any character you love, you can dive in deep in their stories, and that's the really fun thing about this is that exploration on all sides.
Yeah.
And at the same time, look, Magic is the greatest game ever made, as far as I'm concerned. There's a lot of people out there that have heard of it, but, you know, it's an intimidating game to learn. And maybe their love of Marvel gets them to finally learn how to play. And then once you learn to play, you're like, that's an awesome game.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you get them in the door, then they can play all sorts of other things. But it's the way in the door. And so I think the passion goes both ways. And that's great.